Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the Misses.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma, where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay. I don't know if you have, I mean, let's
very much my
there.
Liberal, hot wife.
It looks that way, right? Looks like I'm becoming liberal.
Okay. You go ahead. Make fun of the intro. Get it out of your system.
Is this on? Is my microphone on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's on.
Neil, the intro sucks, okay? I guess I have to tell you that. I mean, I love you as a person.
Fifth week in a row.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. All right, but anyway, why don't you introduce our incredibly entertaining and perspicacious...
Who? No, guest. Who's going to introduce her?
Don't you always introduce the
guest?
No,
they're not. She's your guest. She's your friend, and
let's introduce her. So... Ladies and gentlemen,
we have
an award-winning journalist and host of Epstein Devil in the Darkness podcast on iTunes, which is pretty cool. But you also have an incredible travel blog, and I learned that you're going to the Maldives, I think, next week, right? Or something like that, right?
The Maldives, and I'm going on safari in Sri Lanka with the elephants and the monkeys.
All right, so this is Laura Goldman, ladies and gentlemen, but a very interesting career. So let's go over a couple of things. You started out as a broker at Merrill Lynch and Payne Webber, and then you turned into a journalist. So what happened? So give us a little bit of your origin story. Then I want to obviously talk about Epstein.
Well, I went to Wharton, so going to Wall Street was sort of programmed into my my being. And in 08, I was living in Israel, and I said, you know, all I'm doing is sitting around losing money for people, so it's time to tell people about Israel, because at that time it was the intifadas had already occurred. Israel was kind of the black sheep of the civilized world. So I started.
You're from a Holocaust surviving family, though, right?
Right. Yeah. And interesting, a lot of my family is in Israel, but my immediate grandmother, the British, would not let into Israel in 1947 because she was too old, even though her two sisters were already there.
Hmm. Wow. You know, they changed that sort of practice now? Or?
Well,
you mean the age discrimination?
Yeah.
No, British still controlled Israel in 1947. It became an independent state in 1948.
Okay, so it was after. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So you have been credentialed at the White House.
Yes.
You have reported on not just the Trump administration, but also the Obama administration.
I actually, from your conference, we talked to George Bush later about where he was when Osama bin Laden was captured.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he said he was in a restaurant.
Right. He was eating souffle, in case anybody wants to know.
He was in a Houston restaurant eating souffle. Yeah. And he got the call, although it's interesting. President Trump did not call any of the former presidents to let them know about al-Baghdadi, which is
normal for him. Courtesy isn't his middle name.
Different style. But talk a second about the White House. So your experience covering the White House. The White House obviously changes with presidential leadership. Does the culture inside the press Well, booth, you know, the communications department change as well. What is your opinion of all that stuff?
Well, the thing is, the first time you go into the Brady press room, you're kind of disappointed. It's a dump. And you're kind of, what is going on here? You know, this is where the Constitution comes alive, freedom of press. How can it be such a tiny room with uncomfortable chairs, too crowded for the amount of people credentialed?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I can provide some historical context for that. So the that press room is the old White House swimming pool. So Franklin Roosevelt swam in that pool. John F. Kennedy, there was an indoor swimming pool. And so what happened is when Richard Nixon took over, the press was gaggling in the press office, you know, the press secretary's office, and in the Oval Office. And there was pressure in 1971 to create a press area for the press at the White House. Nixon wasn't a swimmer, and so he covered up the swimming pool and he put the press room over the swimming pool. Now, piece of trivia, if you go down underneath the platform, you can still see the tiles and the coping of the swimming pool, and every press person, including myself, has signed that that tile with a Sharpie. And so you can see all the old press secretaries and so forth. So, and there was some talk during the Clinton administration of creating a different facility or doing it in the OEB, but they left it there. So anyway, that's a little bit of trivia. Throw that in there.
Does it still smell like chlorine? No.
No, it's totally done of chlorine.
Oh, okay. 40 years.
There are rat traps down there, though.
Ew.
Yes,
I think everybody
there are.
Knows that. There's a ton of rats at the White House.
That's disgusting.
So I think that's apropos to what goes on in Washington.
One in the Oval.
The big one.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your podcast, Devil in Darkness. So what made you start it? How'd you get on it? And how'd you create it?
Well, I have a question. So you were always, were you always interested in writing and journalism?
Believe it or not, I never took a college English class. I went to Wharton and I had advanced placement on English. And at Wharton at that time, didn't have any other one. They only needed one semester. So I had no interest in writing. I had no interest in research and footnotes. I didn't know how to do anything like that. I never wrote a college term paper.
Oh, my God. You know. But you enjoy it now, obviously.
I love it. I love it. And I think it started, you know, I was attacked by someone and I was suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. And my therapist suggested to me that I use
Start writing?
No, he said to use a different part of my brain. Wasn't even writing.
Oh.
And because, you know, I was very math-oriented, I went to Wharton with Anthony's friend, Steve Cohen.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Who, like, aced statistics, et cetera.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
So, but I was more math-oriented at that time. And he said, do something completely radical different. So I thought, what could be more different?
You have to use the opposite side of your brain.
Right. And It was my cure. And I always tell people, if you're having a tough time, stop what you're doing and do something different. I stopped reading the Wall Street Journal every day. I changed my routine. And, you know, at that time, it was a terrible time. And, you know, I can honestly say now I've never been happier.
That's a good thing. That's a good piece of advice. You know what I mean? People say things like that, but using the other side of your brain or doing other things that are completely different.
Well, you need to change your routine. If things aren't working, and I always tell people, if it's not working, shake it up. Because what can happen? You can't be any unhappier.
That's what I tell my friends who are looking for guys, and they go to the same Dunkin' Donuts every morning. I'm like, go to a different block. Go to a different coffee shop. You're never meeting your husband doing the same exact thing that you do every single day. Like,
exactly.
Never
exactly.
You know what I mean? You gotta switch it up, like you said, no matter what it is. If you're trying to get a different outcome, you have to switch it up. So, all right. So you started writing.
And I wrote in Israel, and I told the story of Israel. You know, I understand I'm a liberal. I understand some of the liberal criticism of Israel. But they haven't lived there when a bomb has gone off on the corner of their block.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the answer, okay? And I'm not an expert on that kind of a thing because I'm personally involved. But I could remember walking through the Shuk, the Machane Yehuda, which is, you know, the markets where the food and all kinds of things are. And a bomb would go off a couple feet away and people would be dead. You, and it could have been you. Mm-hmm. So when people say to me, oh, it's not fair and da-da-da-da-da, I say, go there, stand there while a bomb goes off and tell me what you think isn't fair. Mm-hmm. I think me dying isn't fair.
Right. Yeah. People have to live things before they judge things. That's how I think. But most people don't do that. So, all right. So this whole Epstein thing, obviously everybody's onto it now and they're engaged in the story, but was this something that you knew about a long time ago, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Well, why were so many important and like influential people attracted to him? What was
he was like luring them with things, right?
First of all, I think that they were more attracted to Ghislaine than him. Okay.
Let's explain to our listeners who that's Ghislaine Maxwell.
Was
Robert Maxwell's daughter. Right.
And I think partner.
High society socialite.
And partner of Jeffrey Epstein. I know people always say she was a former girlfriend. If it happened, it happened a couple times.
But you
they
mean
were
business partner.
Okay. Yes.
And
yes.
All these shenanigans.
Yeah.
Okay.
A blackmail partner? I mean, what was he doing? He was blackmailing people. He entrapped them into, they had predilections toward pedophilia.
Let her explain.
I think, you know, and I've confirmed this with Jewish leaders that were around at the time of Robert Maxwell, and he was a spy. Was he only a spy for Israel? Who knows? You know, he probably sold to the highest bidder. He is a Maxwell. You know, they're business
people. Not discriminating.
People. Right.
Right.
And I think she carried on the family business. You know, I'm very good friends with Isabel Maxwell, which is Ghislaine's older sister. I would be in Israel with Isabel, and we'd go into a meeting, say, talking about a new science museum in Israel. And people would literally stand up when Isabel came into the room. Not for me, I might add.
People don't stand for me either. Only Anthony.
So I would, because he had done so much for the state of Israel. And, you know, so he deserves to be applauded for that. And I really think that they, you know, he did all these other things that ended up, you know, with him dead and lots of loans and the fraud. But I wonder if he wasn't killed or, you know, and it could have been an accident. He could have pulled it together. You know, Anthony and I have been in business a long time with people who and know people who are at the very bottom and don't and are sure they're going to declare bankruptcy and somehow it'll.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you can't write his history that he went bankrupt because those kind of guys pull rabbits out of hats. Mm-hmm. I met him once or twice, but not often. My father met him more because of our interest. You know, my parents were survivors. Robert Maxwell lost 300 relatives in the Holocaust. And his wife was Dr. Elizabeth, was a Holocaust scholar. And now their daughter, Christine, is following in their footsteps.
Okay, so aren't they disappointed with Ghislaine?
I'm not sure. Isabel, in all her conversations with me, kind of defends her sister. She says, and she knows this from her experience, and I think Anthony and I kind of know it from having been in the headlines at different times. People like to attack people in the news, rich people, socialites. I mean, you know, I wasn't a rich person, but, you know, I think that some of what's said about her isn't true. Mm-hmm. Some of what should be said about her hasn't been said about her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not sure where the truth begins.
Right. It's a blurry, right?
You know,
the lines are blurry.
You know, she may have, I believe she was a spy. Mm-hmm. I really believe it. And he may have been her asset, Jeffrey. You know, I think it's sexist, and we were talking about that earlier. I think that everyone assumes it's Jeffrey Epstein.
Right, and
I think she's the brains behind the operation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were doing this for a long time together, right? I mean, how much goes back, like 20 years more?
Probably more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And rich people like things for free. And he was offering them plane rides. He was offering them advice with taking the money for his charity. They love getting a discount, okay?
Yeah.
More than, you know, stupid people like me who pay full price.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So I firmly believe that the allure was he was, you know, when I was a broker at Merrill Lynch, I used to tell people, I sell people what they want, not what they need. And that bothers me sometimes. You know, you want to sell somebody a municipal bond, but what they really want is go-go stocks so they can talk about it at the cocktail party.
Even though you know it's not in their best interest.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Jeffrey was selling them what they wanted, and more importantly, what they wanted, and nobody else would sell to them or would want to talk about it with them. I mean, people don't usually talk about, you know, their sexual fantasies with people.
See, I'm like
sexual escapades.
No, I'm in the dark. Like, yeah. I've read a ton on it, and I'm still confused, and I'm a relatively intelligent person, but I don't understand what he did all the time, and then the money.
He did nothing all the time. That I know, because I spent time with Jelaine and him in Florida and this and that. He basically hung out.
So where did all that money come from?
I think a lot of it came.
From bribes?
No, I think he stole from Wexner. He had power of attorney. And I think that in the end, the real villain of the story is Wexner. And it's because had he reported these thefts, Epstein would have been stopped a long time ago.
Right.
I think that he probably stole much more money than anyone imagines from Wexner, and because he only paid back part of it. And you know, there's an old joke: when you move to Israel, how do you get a fortune in Israel? You start with a bigger fortune.
That could be one of Donald Trump's
investing
in his IPO. Okay, so Prince Andrew, can we talk about him for a second? Because I'm fascinated. So he was heavily involved?
I think he was more involved than he's admitting. And, you know, first of all, he dated Jelaine at one point. Okay, now how long they dated?
After Fergie?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they were...
For any millennials, we mean Sarah Ferguson, not... The Black Eyed Peas, Fergie. He's probably Neil's thinking, really?
That's
he
not true.
Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas? Okay. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
And I'm just saying.
Uncle
so
Neil.
I think that he was always known as a libertine and Randy Andy, so he could get away with it. The press kind of liked that about him. And, you know, it's part of all this misogyny, which has to go, mm-hmm. Okay? Randy Andy isn't okay,
right.
You know?
But, like, so what was he... this is what
What's he do all day? What does a prince do all day? So he had plenty of time to fantasize and fulfill those fantasies. People need jobs.
So people are doing these things against their will? Or
no. He made it easy for them to have it. Okay. He would get a yacht and have these girls on there.
But the girls were there against their will?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
But how did they end up there?
He lured them, you know. You know, when you have no money, okay, $200 is a lot of money for you, okay. And when you think that everyone thinks they can handle somebody, okay, they thought.
I know. I thought I could handle the mooch.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Trust me, she's doing a good job of handling me. Trust me.
But you know. So they think they're going to go there and they're just going to massage his back and get out of there.
God.
Okay?
Right.
But it's not how it worked. And, you know, I think people, you know, and I think Jelaine, and maybe he learned psychological abuse methods from the, you know, armies use them, CIA uses
Mossad.
Them,
right.
Oh, and Mossad uses them, you know, because it's a way of, you know.
Donald Trump uses them.
I don't know if he's that organized. You give him much more credit for being intelligent than I ever would. He is a savant in marketing.
Stable genius.
He uses them intuitively. So was he killed, Jeff Epstein?
I think that my theory is that he hung himself or tried to hang himself to get moved from the jail to a hospital. And he would have been in a cushy little hospital like Westchester, et cetera. And it failed because of the never underestimate the incompetence of bureaucrats, okay? So he hung himself, thought they would cut him down, and they never came. That's my theory.
But he hung himself off the bed.
Don't hang yourself by a lazy person.
There was really nothing to cut him down, right? Because he snapped his neck by being on the bed, right?
But he wouldn't have been there long. You know, it wouldn't have happened that quickly had he...
So there was a coroner that was on Fox News 2 weeks ago said that it was a murder, not a hanging, that the bones that were cracked in the neck would have been more consistent with a murder. Do you believe that, or do you think that that's conspiracy theory?
Well, there are theories, but I... No, you know, I work, you know, I'm always nagging you about criminal justice reform, and he ignores me, I might add. But
that's not true. That's not true. Don't worry, he ignores me.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
But
teaming up.
Jails are terrible places. They're short staffed with surly workers, and I just think they just ignored him. I think I had hoped that this would happen, that he would. You know, die, and there would be a way that people would still be talking about this and saying, how can we keep prisoners safe in jail? Mm-hmm. You know, I think almost one person a day dies in a jail in the United States from suicide. That's not okay. I think it's even more. But and I thought that, you know, it would call attention to the understaffing at that jail. It would call attention to the need for mental health. But alas... It didn't. It went to conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, the interesting thing I read as it relates to your podcast is they went to go find some files in the Palm Beach County Police Department and they're gone, right?
Oh, surprise.
Right. So this is how people end up with conspiracy theories because, like, where the hell did those things go?
Well, first of all, okay, if, you know, The fact that he was allowed to go to his office on work release, close the door, and women and under... Now, these... And also, let's be clear. These are not women. These are...
Underage girls.
Children. Right. Let's remember that, okay? These are... Underage children were allowed there, okay? And one of his victims was in the same jail as him at the same time. You know, people are calling them... There's no such thing as an underage prostitute, okay? They are sex trafficking victims. Mm-hmm. So, what you know, and why I'm saying that is he was allowed to go into his office and a girl was allowed to come in there with him. Now, you know, if you believe nothing was happening, I got a bridge in Brooklyn for you, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And where did we come as a society that our first priority isn't protecting children?
Well, I mean, I have personal experience with that from a friend of mine. Our system is so broken in many ways, not only in sex crimes, but also family court. I mean, I know people who are in situations. I have a friend who's fighting for reform because her daughter was killed by the father because they think, oh, another bitter woman. She's trying to estrange the daughter from the dad. No, he's psycho, and he now killed the poor girl. So there are so many things that are wrong with the system and so many things that are broken. And the judge specifically said to my friend, this isn't a case of life or death. Like, it's like, you know, we see it all the time, blah, blah, blah. This is the same kind of thing. Sex trafficking, family law, the jails that are understaffed and the mental health of our people in our country. There are so many things. Where do you even begin, you know? So this
well, you
is just
have to begin. See, no.
You have to begin
that's
somewhere.
A,
like
that's
my friend
defeatist.
Is fighting.
You
no.
got to like say
there
okay.
are people that are championing these things. I'm just saying there are so many things that are broken. You know that people are working to fix, but it's just a very long process. If it ever happens, when it ever happens, so,
that's why we need Democrats. Okay, this. I can't have all these billionaires complaining that they're afraid of their taxes. No way, boys. You know you've had a run. Okay, it's time for. The regular people to get what they need. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going hungry and the billionaires are worried about their tax rate. Does that even make sense?
That makes no sense. No, but what I would love is this land that will never exist. I think Anthony feels this way also, but Isn't there something in between that and then like giving away the entire farm where people actually need to be motivated and work for things? I mean, I don't think it's fair to be in a place where the less you do, the more you get either. You know what I mean?
So I disagree with you. You work hard, okay?
Right.
Now, you don't need to work hard, okay? People work hard because they want recognition, satisfaction. They want an attaboy. It's BS or whatever the word is for
what about
the
for
people
money, though, and success?
Yeah, but bills, you, okay, but Deirdre works hard, and she's a mother of two children, a stepmother, and she still works hard because she doesn't need the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless,
no, you're right.
So I think it's people need to work that
she's
they need
say,
the
unless
most
Anthony's
money.
A cheap bastard.
But yeah, well, I was just going to say that.
Am I a cheap bastard?
But then no, but she realized I'm being funny.
Okay,
oh,
right,
my
right,
God.
Right,
I wouldn't even say
no
it if you
No underwear, no thong.
No.
I'm not. Anyway. No, he's very sensitive. I think he has his period.
Sensitive. I mean, that's one of the things I'm definitely not.
I agree.
Arms that go drag to the floor on that, right?
Okay.
I have a tattoo on my ass that says exit only.
Oh, my God. Okay, no, but I'm saying, yes, that's definitely true. But then don't you think there are people in life that expect things for doing nothing?
No.
You don't?
No.
So how does
is there one person somewhere sitting in a Starbucks? Yes. But in general, people like the satisfaction of work. And that's partially because our culture is exchanged. You know, you used to go to a party and people would say, what's your sign? Okay. Now people go to a party and they ask, what do you do? Who do you know? Okay. Well, you can't know anybody if you don't do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way.
Yeah, no, it's true. I just, you know, so Aunt, you don't know anybody who doesn't do anything and wants everything?
I think the point about someone like a Prince Andrew, if you're born, manner born.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about politics in the U.S. that I hate billionaires getting tax breaks, but at the same time, I don't like seeing like my mother and father working and busting their ass for 50 years. And then there's people that have never worked or are not working. And it's passed on from generation to generation. And there's government assistance out the hoo-ha. I don't like that either. You know what I mean?
Okay,
there has to be a middle ground. You know?
Okay, but let me just ask you this. So I've worked 80 hours a week for 35 years. And if I leave the money to our children to give to them, the government should take that?
No.
No.
Well, what's wrong with your children working hard?
Nothing, and they will, and they should.
There's nothing wrong with them working hard.
You've already given them is your son at Stanford?
He is.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He already has a leg up. Let him work.
Oh,
okay?
And they do.
There's nothing wrong with
that. And
they
do.
He's a big-time hustler, but my point is...
I know. AJ is... I just meant, you know, this thing that your poor little kids... No. What did you have when you started out? Nothing.
I didn't have anything, but the point is
if you give them something, it's a whole lot more.
No, but hear me, both of you guys, hear me out for a second. I make a dollar. I'm a minority partner in my own life because Bill de Blasio, Donald Trump, and Andrew Cuomo are getting 54 cents. So now I've got 46 cents left. I decide not to consume that 46 cents. I decide to save it. And so I live low and modestly. I grow the 46 cents into $10 million. And now I die. My goal was to take that $10 million and give it to my children. Why? Because that's what I wanted to do with the money that I earned fairly, paid all my taxes on, and wisely invested. And so are we saying now that the government should then come in and disreward me for my parsimony and my good saving habits and my good investment acumen and should just take the money and not give it to my children? Is that what we're saying?
You're going
to create an incentive
That's
for me to
I'm
spend
saying.
The money.
What's wrong with you spending the money and circulating it back into the economy? What would your kids really suffer with only $5 million?
No, but Laura, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying to you that we have free will in our society. I could choose to spend the money or I could choose to save the money. And so that should be my choice, right? Or are we going to set up a government policy then that says, okay, listen, we're going to incentivize you to spend the money because if you don't spend it, when you die, we're going to take it from you.
Okay. So my answer to you is I was in Cuba. You know, I've been to like 89 countries in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The healthcare in Cuba is better than the healthcare in America. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think that your $10 million that you saved, some of that should go to providing vets and other people health care. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel one iota of badness or guilt about that. Okay, I lived in Israel. Israel, which has enormous defense needs, provides every citizen with complete health care. So if your children only get $5 million and people get health care, I'm a happy camper.
I understand that.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Everything you just said makes sense.
I'm just saying everything in moderation.
There's a lot of people differences.
Oh, I'm not on the total left end, yeah. But I think this thing where we can't get people health care is wrong.
Yeah, I think.
And we need to change our health care system. It has to be incentivized. People like me need to get to the gym, and we need to be incentivized to get there. Mm-hmm. I should be paid to go to the gym because it obviously has a – I do go, but I'm saying, for health care.
They do that in Japan, right? You guys know that, right? So they do pay people.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
The lower your weight, the more money you make and blah, blah. So, I mean, they do that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So let me ask you a different question, because I'm just okay. Curious from a practical point of view and more generic about moderation, but where we are in our society. So do you think, and this is for Deirdre and for you, Lord, do you think that we can ever get back to some kind of consensus compromising in our society, or we're going to go in this bipolar zone where the left's in control, going to do XYZ, then the right gets control and does ZYX, and it goes in a flipping, flopping sort of a way? Or do you think we'll ever get back to a consensus? Go ahead. What do you think, Ben?
I think we will get back to it at some point, but I think for a while we're going to be trying to outdo each other. I think, you know, once the reign of Donald Trump is over, then somebody so far left is going to come and try to just like erase him by being so extreme. And then I think someone is going to come do that again. And at some point, everybody will get sick of it. You know, the same way he was elected for reasons. Those reasons will come about in a different way. And I think at some point we'll all come together again after we're exhausted from the nonsense. But I think it's going to have to play itself out. I don't think we're ready to unite again and be the United States of America again. But I mean, maybe if like the savior from above came down and ran for the presidency, I guess maybe. But they would have to take a really special person to come and fix what is so divided and broken at this point. I think it would take somebody with a lot of skill. Maybe Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody like.
Yeah. Now, see, I think Biden or Bloomberg could do it. Now, they aren't actually my first choices, but I accept that they may be what could heal our country. Biden, the liberals don't like Biden. The Republicans don't like Biden. You know, when you're hated by every side, you're probably doing something right.
Right. I agree. Just like how everyone hates Anthony. Except
they do,
me.
Man. They coming at me now from both sides. But, though, I mean, so that's fine.
No, you're right. That
I'm
means you're doing, because you're not saying what people want to hear. So people
right.
don't like that.
Right.
Right.
You know, and, look, my heart goes to somebody like Elizabeth Warren. But I've met with Democrats who say, well, I'm not voting for Elizabeth Warren. They don't like, and Bernie Sanders because of their stands on Israel and things like that. So I say, okay, maybe I'm not going to get my perfect person this time.
Never.
But,
ever.
But I think Biden, Bloomberg, there's nobody on the Republican side at this time that is in the middle. But
see, I have a question that stems from that. Ant,
yeah, I'm
do you think the media will ever calm down and stop riling everybody up? So, like, say Bloomberg actually does this, right? Are they going to just go digging and trying to find stuff and take him down and make him the next devil and all? Will
yes.
they ever stop that, or will
no.
they ever get back to straight Walter Cronkite reporting?
I don't think
Never,
so,
right?
because I think it's very valuable to them to create this hysteria. They lock people into an addictive cycle of watching them and
following them on
social media.
So then they are actually a humongous part of the problem. Humongous.
Well, I mean, one of the jokes going around, George Conway put this out on his Twitter feed, that Mike Bloomberg should buy Fox News.
Right.
If he buys Fox News and he strangles it in the bathtub, then you'll have less of that, right-wing propaganda going on. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, right.
So, you are fake news.
But, I mean, that's the issue. I think I don't want to be cynical, but I don't see any way in this fragmented media environment that they're not going to vilify and attack whoever the person is. It could be the most haloed figure. I think that they'll still attack them because it's good for business. Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
No. I really believe that Biden— except for this Hunter thing, which the Republicans are pushing, has really got, I've known him since 1988. He has gotten away with a lot, okay? And I like him, okay? But he has not been vilified at all, okay? And I think the reason is that he's the last great white hope. Mm-hmm. Look, he presided over the Clarence Thomas hearings. Do we hear anything about that?
Sometimes.
But
a
not
little.
Much.
A little
okay.
bit, yeah.
He was behind the 1994 crime bill, which Hillary Clinton, who was first lady, not president, was vilified for. Mm-hmm. And Biden, chairman of the Senate Judiciary, wasn't vilified for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's really no rhyme or reason, right, to any of it, to who they decide they
hate
and not hate.
So I think they've let him get away with a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know about that, Mr. But, Texting. Hello?
Yeah, what? No, I'm just...
I will blow you out of the water.
What are you talking about?
I didn't really say that. That was from another time.
No, I understand that. He's throwing in sound bites right now.
He's like,
you're going to blow me out of the water? Okay, look at Neil. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm right taking notes. I'm taking notes so I can ask more questions.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good excuse.
No, this is exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. I would have loved to hear the ones that he came up with in elementary school.
I was very good.
I'm
at that,
writing
by the way.
Down notes to ask more questions.
I was very good. I always got myself. I always talked my way out of the principal's office when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I was very good at it.
I don't know if that's something you should be proud of, and don't ever tell our kids that.
Don't tell our kids that.
No.
By the way, let me ask you this. Okay, if you're brushing your child's teeth with an electric toothbrush as they're walking to the bus stop. Is that efficiency or craziness? Go ahead.
Or bad parenting. Bad time
weird.
Management. Well, that we are.
Okay,
so.
Well, definitely
we're
weird.
Owning
There's
that.
No doubt about yeah. that. There's definitely weirdness going on. No, that's not what I was going to ask. I want to ask a different question. Then I want to switch over to the travel stuff, if you
okay.
don't mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That stuff's fascinating.
Stuff.
But the last question I want to ask is when you... Because you know all these people. You've met all these people. You're great sourcing. You know... a lot about what's going on. Do you think that Donald Trump is going to be impeached, meaning the House is going to vote for his impeachment? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And then the next question, do you think that the evidence that the House is going to expose from here into whenever that impeachment is and so forth. And as they go into a trial in the Senate, will be enough to convince any Republican to move. You don't. So they don't think there's another shoe dropping on him in terms of his illicit behavior.
No.
Okay, so he stays in office.
Yes.
Do you think he is the Republican nominee?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so now, obviously, this is dependent on who the Democrat is. Next question. Do you think Donald Trump wins re-election?
I think there's a very good chance. And that's why I tell everybody, register, give to to the candidate, or wait till there is a nominee. I took my cab to get to the train to get here. My cab driver proudly told me that he voted Republican in last week's election in Philadelphia. We don't even have a Republican Party in Philadelphia. So who did he vote for? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. And he told me how he listens to Rush Limbaugh when he has time. And I'm like, well, what did they do for you? You do know that you're not worried about the estate tax. I didn't say that to him, but people use this as a license to be prejudiced, and I obviously always were, but now they can be open about
you
it.
You think that baby uses as a license to be prejudiced? I do.
Yeah, I think they do.
I think they hide under the cloak of the party.
Yes.
To be prejudiced. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes on the left, too, they do identity politics.
Yeah, and that's gone too far. I mean, I said something bad about Meghan Markle, who I met when she was a Suits actress. Okay, I might add I interviewed her. And I was called racist. I said, why wasn't her mother at her baby shower? Now, was your mother at your baby shower?
Yes.
Okay.
So Anthony missed some other part of it, but my mom came to the baby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. She's going to blow me out of it. You can put the blow me out of the water.
No, I will blow you out of the water.
Yes, sorry. We know that.
No, I'm kidding. I just like to give him a hard time. That's all good.
So most people
I've started using other parts of my brain. I've moved on.
Shine, okay. Shade.
Well, see, your story, I think you're the two of you, and I was talking to Anthony at that time, okay? Ability to forgive each other, I think that's a lesson. I wanted Anthony to write a book about it. Remember we talked about it, resilience and writing a book about forgiveness? I think I had to forgive the man that raped me. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that you could forgive each other and live together and not kill each other, mm-hmm.
I love her.
Yeah, I understand. But love, there's a thin line between love and hate. So I think that's the secret everybody wants to know. How do you forgive somebody?
She was hating on me a little this morning. I could smell it off her. I couldn't figure out what I was doing, but
no collusion.
No collusion this morning. No, we didn't get any collusion done this morning.
No. We talk about sex at some point.
The problem is when you have like a 5 and a 2-year-old, it's a hard time getting. There's lots of obstruction and very little collusion. But
blown.
Okay, so let me
wait. Hold on about the Meghan Markle thing. You're good. So why was that racist? It has nothing to do with color. If someone
because I said I was picking on her because she was African American,
but she's also that's the part I always say to Anthony. I'm like. That was what confuses me because I don't understand when you're half white and half black, you're also white. So, but it seems like people don't identify as white when they're mixed, which is interesting to me. But but that had nothing to do with race. It's like people are always so quick to say it was a racist comment, but it's not. It was asking why her mother wasn't at her baby shower, which is just a regular question. But everybody's super sensitive, right?
See, the left has gone too far. When they're calling me a racist, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been called that.
Yeah, okay.
It's ridiculous.
I'm a racist.
Right, yeah.
I've been called that. I've been called everything.
So
misogynist, racist.
So the left isn't perfect, but mm-hmm. we're working on it. And but the right, I think... Anthony and I were down in Atlantic City, and the person we visited, he's voting for Trump. And, when I ask him about Ukraine, he says to me, to the victor goes the spoils. Okay? Well, what kind of nonsense is that? Aren't we a country? He's not our victor. He's not our king. He's not our knight in shining mm-hmm. armor. So
in Spanx.
Do you think Trump broke the law?
I'm not a lawyer, but I would think so.
Okay.
You know, I'm sad for my country.
Yeah,
that
I know. I'm
sad for
this.
My country now.
Me too.
I don't even watch TV anymore because it's too depressing. Mm. What kind of, when I saw Nikki Haley today, I sent Anthony an email. Why is she committing suicide?
I guess someone's paying her bills.
Right.
That's affiliated with him, obviously.
Well, I think she wants to sell books and she wants to be vice president, as Anthony said, but it's sad to me.
Or she's running for secretary of state. You know, Mike Pompeo is going to become the senator or try to be the senator in Kansas, and she wants his position. But or, you know, look, she's made a or she believes it. These are the three things. She believes it, and that's her principled belief, or she's doing it because she thinks it's advantageous politically, one or the other. And look, she's entitled to it. I respectfully disagree. I can tell you that General Kelly's hot about it. Hot. He's hot about it. So,
sure, he should be.
And I think he feels that her remarks were unfair and unsubstantiated. I think he feels he never had those conversations with her. But anyway, look, we're here now, and we move forward. So let me just ask those other questions. So you think he stays in?
Yes.
You think there's a good chance he could win, right? Obviously, let's say it's 50-50. And now the last question, I want to talk about travel. If you were going to be the kingmaker or the queenmaker in the Democratic Party, the person that you think could beat Donald Trump or has the greatest chances of beating him is?
Biden.
And,
Biden's a terrible campaigner. Okay, and my preference would be Warren, but I come to New York and I was at the Regency for breakfast the other day, and the Tishes and everybody were there, and they were all saying if the candidate is Warren or Sanders, they're Democrats, but they're not going to vote. It's anybody but Trump and Warren and Sanders, and like I'm like, you do know that we live in a democracy, but they don't seem to know.
Do you think that Biden could beat Trump?
No. Okay, so who do you think?
Well, my first reaction is to say Michael Bloomberg, but then somebody said to me, well, have you seen him lately? He's like a geriatric, and he's not as sharp as you think he is, and you are thinking about him when he was mayor. And I'm like, okay. So in all fairness, I haven't seen him, and I haven't heard him say much recently, so maybe that's true. But I just think he's a common sense person. I don't know, and he seems pretty straightforward. I don't think he's nefarious or anything like that. I know they can come up with stories on anybody, but I just think he's a little bit more with it, and he's a little bit more no nonsense, because I think people don't necessarily want touchy-feely, no pun intended. I think they want no nonsense but get the job done and stop all the political divide. I think he's more in that category than Biden.
Okay, but I'm not sure.
He can't get the nomination, though, probably, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not even sure he's in the race for sure.
Right.
That's
okay, I mean, I emailed with him on Friday, and he said thank you, and because we wanted to throw a fundraiser for him in Philly, and he said not yet,
And I feel like that too. He's kind of has one foot in, one foot out.
I think it was a trial balloon, which he should do, which is what a professional politician does. That's what I tell Anthony all the time about the mayor's race.
Mm-hmm. But, throw your hat in the ring and then decide later.
Right. Yeah. See what I told him. Let's see what happens. But my friends were at Bill Maher this weekend, and everybody booed you when your name came up. But Bill Maher defended you, and he says he's on your side now.
So Bill Maher maintains that was mooch.
They were not booing you. They said mooch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what Bill Maher maintains.
Okay, but my friends were there. They said it was boo. But I'm just telling you.
All right.
I wasn't there.
I was there. They said mooch.
You thought so, right?
Yes.
Because there was a lot of people like high-fiving me as I was walking to the table.
Right? He got a very warm reception. And everybody came and said thank you to him. So
the cool thing about my nickname is if you are booing me, I choose to hear mooch. How's that?
Mooch?
Okay. So
no,
that's
but Bill,
cool.
Bill
that's
said cool. to me he was backstage and it definitely sounded like mooch as opposed to boo. But whatever.
I don't know.
You know how I know?
How?
Because I was pissed that they were booing. So I looked. I stopped and I looked. And it sounds so psycho. But I watched their mouth. Okay. To see if they were saying, and now I sound like I'm over-explaining, but I swear to God, I looked at them and they were saying, mooch. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to be mad and pull a Kimberly Guilfoyle and stand up and say, you need to online date or whatever. Anyway, standing up for a little
take cover. I'm taking cover. I'm under
black
the desk.
Dress
I'm under
on
the
that
desk.
Night. So anyway.
So let's go to the travel. Though. We have a couple more minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, I love the travel.
More minutes. Let's go to the travel. How did you get started on it? First of all, this woman, 89 countries. She's been in some of the most amazing hotels and restaurants in the world. So how did
I
you
thought
get
he was going to say you're 89 years old. I'm like,
no,
I
she
you're
said 89
cream.
Countries. How many years did it take you to travel 89 countries?
I've actually done those 89 in the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so she's moving around
wow.
a lot. So how did you get started on this? And they pay for your travel, you pointed
Forget
out.
Forget they pay for it. You should see where they put me.
Oh, wow.
And they pay for my, you know, and they, you know, some of them pay me and you know, whatever. But it's an experience of a lifetime. First of all, it started with Mickey Aronson. He had faltering cruise lines, which are now closed, to Cuba. And I knew Mickey's sister, Sherry, from Israel. And he asked me if I wanted to go to Cuba. And I'm like, Cuba? Okay. And so I thought that I was going to, I don't know, I was kind of like, oh, Cuba's bad. I hang out in South Beach. All the people I know say Cuba's bad. And I went there, and I realized that none of the press are telling you any of the truth about Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
No. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Okay? But I met, you know, are people poor? Yes. But, you know, people are poor where we are, too. Mm-hmm. I could not believe how much better Cuba was than what I was told. And this is with the sanctions, or, you know, or limited sanctions and whatever. And then, you know, I was in the Middle East, and I'm like, okay, we don't like Cuba because of some of the things Castro did, and now I'm in these Middle Eastern countries, and I can't drive. I have to wear things on my hair, which, you know, I like my hair, so that's a little traumatic. And because I went from Cuba to the Arab countries for whatever reason, I was picking America's foils in the world, and I said, you know, foreign policy is screwed up here. Mm-hmm. So I started writing, you know, when I wrote about Cuba, and I got unbelievable hate mail calls at home when I said that Cuba is, you know, the human rights violations there are serious, don't misunderstand me, but they're no different than in the Arab countries, and we cannot have our human rights calculator determined by oil.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I got so much hate. So much hate. And it made me realize that whatever we've been told, whatever the neocons, which include many Jewish people that I know, neocons is conservatives, are wrong. Mm-hmm. They're just wrong. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, well, I got to go to more countries because now I see nothing that I've been told is right. And then I was in Africa this summer, and I couldn't believe how nice it was and how and the country that we have the most sanctions with against is Zimbabwe. You know, Zimbabwe, you can't even use American credit cards, okay? Or Visa, so international credit cards.
Still, even though Mugabe's dead?
Yes.
We still
because
have
the new guy
on.
Came in. You know, the old guy, Mugabe, Robert Mugabe, was a he was out of office and now dead, and he was a dictator, okay? But, you know, so there are dictators in the Arab countries. So there's dictators in North Korea. But you can use credit cards there. You can't use them in Zimbabwe. Why? Because some crazy foreign policy decision. And it made me realize, oh, my God, people aren't telling the truth. The place was lovely. The people from there work harder than any people I know. Okay, what? So, and we're going to punish them because we don't like their leaders. Yes, there's corruption, but there's corruption everywhere. And as we've seen in America, it seems to be our middle name now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
But you had a good time in Zimbabwe.
Oh, my God, yes. You know, there's a hotel there, the Queen Victoria, which is probably one of the nicest hotels in the world. Okay, and it overlooks the Victoria Falls, which are larger than Niagara Falls. It was just spectacular. And tea there was just unbelievable.
Okay, so give us the best place, 89 countries, hundreds of different hotels. You're a couple, and you want to go for a romantic 4-day trip.
We talk about sex
You're
going to
go
point?
Where?
Where would I go? Well, do you want beach or you want city?
I think the woman to my right wants
sexual
beach.
Escapades.
Right? You want beach?
Me, yeah.
Yeah, beach. Beach?
I love boobs.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you that the beaches in Africa will just blow you away.
All right, she's not going to Africa.
Oh,
right?
No?
Well, we already went. We went to Africa.
She liked Africa, but she didn't love Africa.
Okay.
Give me a place in the Caribbean. Give me what's the best place in Hawaii you've been to?
Never been to Hawaii.
Been to Hawaii?
No.
Okay, look at that, 89 countries.
No, you know, I've been
Hawaii's
to Alaska.
Technically its own country.
I've been to Alaska.
Did you like Alaska?
Loved it. And your kids would love it.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Yeah. Everyone says the kids would love it.
So in the Caribbean, I would say one of my favorite places is Half Moon Bay in Jamaica.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
So is that another place that gets a bad rap? Because everybody tells me, don't go anywhere near Jamaica. It's dangerous. I'm like, okay.
No. And the weed is everywhere. Oh. I mean, my favorite city is probably Amsterdam.
You smoke a lot of weed? You could tell us.
No, just but, you know, when you're
among us and 75,000
friends. When in Rome.
Okay.
You know.
I would love to see Anthony smoke weed. He'd act like an absolute maniac.
Oh my God.
No, I think he would mellow out. He'd be quiet. I think you would actually get a word in edgewise.
No, you know what? He would become so introspective that it would just be a waste of time to sit with him.
Watch, Anthony, I love the Jersey Shore. So I don't actually go to that many beaches. No, it's because
when she thinks of you, she thinks of the Jersey Shore.
No. We were just there on Saturday, Friday.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We copped her in. I thought the place was beautiful.
The Jersey Shore has some of the greatest beaches ever. I don't sit in the sun. That's why I look so young.
So in Atlantic City, what's your favorite hotel there?
Well, I was at the Borgata. It was jammed this weekend. And they had a gourmet weekend. Mm-hmm. Do you know Michael Schulson? I don't know if he has restaurants up here.
No.
But
You mentioned him.
Yeah, he has Japanese-style restaurants. And, oh, my Lord. But he had all his restaurants, Italian.
After Stormy Daniels said that Donald Trump's pee-pee was like a little shiitake mushroom, we haven't been to a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, I can't order miso soup.
Yeah, we can't order miso soup anymore. It was so horrifying.
Yeah. I don't think the point of travel is I can rest at home. I mean, you have kids and things, okay? For me, I like to see things. I mean, if I'm sitting in front of an art piece
of art.
Would
you take the kids to Alaska for like one
of
those?
Oh, they would love it. Oh, man.
They would love one of those cruises up there with the.
Yeah.
Oh, that dog sled thing was really fun. I almost fell off, I might add.
What did I say? Snow dogging? Yeah, that's something else. Dog sledding is what I meant.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah. But it was...
snow dogging, though? What is that?
Blown.
You know, but I like cities. You know, London, believe it or not, is great for little kids because all the museums are free and they have a lot geared to children.
Yeah, London's one of our favorites. We'll have to take our kids
there, too. And even Paris has sort of gotten into the children's game a little more lately. But when I was in Paris last time, my friend took me to the Jewish section of Paris where my grandmother was buried.
Oh.
And my grandmother survived the war, and Leah Blumstein, and she died right after the war ended and was buried in Paris. And then they came to America later. But
I've never been to Paris. I know.
Anthony, I'm very disappointed in you.
Where would I take her? Go ahead.
Huh?
What's the best place? The Carrière Léon?
West Bank. So you need to get, I can't remember the name of it. You want to be on the West Bank.
On the West Bank.
Bank, yes. Okay. You want to go to Montmartre.
Not the Four Seasons, George V? No.
No.
Right off the Champs-Élysées? No.
Too touristy. You want to be in the West Bank. That's where the cool people are.
Okay, you'll set it up then.
Yes,
okay.
yes.
I'll take you to Paris. I think you'd love it.
But it was so moving to be. I walk the same streets as my ancestors.
I love it.
That is moving, right?
You know,
this is great. We got to get you back. That was a lot of fun.
We can do a whole travel.
We'll see. I would like to do that.
Okay, and then I'll have everything.
Bring your notes.
Down.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
You know, because.
Do you like the 70s music that Neil picked out? He's 107 years old, Neil, even though he was born in 1994.
Can you take me a picture of all of us?
I have a good skincare routine now.
Thank you, Lou.
All right, so we'll see you next Tuesday, right? Are you guys leaving
see you
me
next
for
Tuesday.
A picture?
No, I'll talk to you for a minute.
Bye.
I'll talk to you for a minute.
See you next Tuesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks for being with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.